On Monday, the Eisenbeck National Wildlife Refuge turned 50. It's the smallest of Alaska's 16 refuges, covering over 300,000 acres at the southwest tip of the Alaska Peninsula. The refuge houses the 150-square-mile Eisenbeck Lagoon, a wetlands area that serves as a resting stop for millions of migratory birds. Refuge staff and volunteers have spent the past week celebrating the 50th anniversary in Cold Bay, where Eisenbeck's headquarters are located. On Saturday, about 40 people, or roughly half of the town's small population, gathered to look at an exhibit of over 60 photographs of wetlands and wildlife. They also heard about the refuge's history and ecology, and, of course, ate birthday cake. The photos were shown in Anchorage, Juneau, and Homer before being brought to Cold Bay. Nature photographers Mary Frisch and Tom Colopy contributed to the collection, and their work was funded by a Challenge Cost Share grant. Alisa Russ is the outreach coordinator for Friends of Alaska National Wildlife Refuges, and she helped organize the exhibit. She spent time in Eisenbeck while working for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and she says that the land here is still very special to her, and unlike anything else.
I had the position out here as the assistant area management biologist for salmon, and my job was to, you know, I had a pilot come over, Steve Hakala, and he would fly me around the refuge, and I would count salmon. And so the things that I got to see were incredible, just the caribou and the wolves and the amazing landscape. And I got to know these streams intimately and these places and these valleys.
Eisenbeck's many acres include everything from volcanoes to quaking bogs. For a couple of summer months, the tundra is covered in colorful lupins and orchids. But during much of the year, snow, rain, and wind roll across the open landscape. Because cloud cover is nearly constant, the land was used as a military site during World War II, and Eisenbeck wildlife biologist Christine Peterson thinks that weather actually gives the refuge a unique sort of beauty.
I hear people constantly say that when it's this gray out, they don't think it's very pretty. I do. I think it's part of its character, and there's so many shades of gray. It's not like it's all gray. There's 150 shades of gray, and that's just as pretty as 150 shades of green. It's just different.
When describing Eisenbeck's history, Peterson often uses the term meeting ground. The area was located near the southern end of the Bering Sea land bridge, and archaeological research indicates that it played an important role in migration. Peterson says that it also served as a zone of contact for a large Aleut population, Pacific Eskimos, and Russian traders. But now, the most common gathering in the area is that of migratory birds. Species like emperor geese, cackling geese, black brant, and tundra swan descend upon Eisenbeck from spring to autumn. That's because of the eelgrass that the Eisenbeck Lagoon contains, says refuge manager Nancy Hoffman.
It's one of the largest eelgrass stands in the world. It's a wetland of international importance, and it's a major stopover for pretty much the entire population of brant. I don't know, it's unique. You really can't find something of this size easily.
Initially, Eisenbeck had been part of the Aleutian Islands National Wildlife Refuge. During World War II, it turned into a place of strategic importance for the military because of the Japanese attack on Alaska. It was in the war's aftermath that the Eisenbeck region itself gained special status as a wildlife refuge, says Christine Peterson.
Immediately after the war, I believe it was in 48, a fellow by the name of Sea Otter Jones, well, he wasn't called that then, Bob Jones, came here. He talked with the military, I believe down on Adak, they were doing some operations that would essentially kill all of the sea otters. And he went in and said, well, why don't you let me move them?
12 years later, in 1960, the federal government officially turned Eisenbeck into its own national wildlife refuge. During the 1980s, it was named a wetlands of international importance, and 95% of its land was designated as wilderness, which makes the maintenance of the land a little different from refuges outside of Alaska, says Nancy Hoffman.
You don't do so much manipulation. Of course, in Alaska, we don't have invasive species are not a big issue here, and restoration isn't a big need here, because the land here is pretty pristine compared to the lower 48 or outside.
Despite Eisenbeck's remote location, the refuge still gets about 5,000 visitors every year, many of them bird watchers. And the lands themselves also play a major role in the lives of Cold Bay's residents. Here's Joe Carr, who has spent the past 30 years in and out of the town.
As an outdoor person, I probably spend 6 days a week on the refuge. I have a dog. He likes to hunt. I like to hunt. If we're not looking for birds, we're looking for wolves or ptarmigan, or we're fishing. Cold Bay, you don't have any other choices. You don't go to the mall. You don't go to the store. You go and you play. And if you're an outdoors person, you go and you play outside, and that's, you know, refuge.
The photography exhibit celebrating Eisenbeck's 50 years is now permanently on display in Cold Bay's airport. In Unalaska, I'm Alexandra Gutierrez.